recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. And indeed, we are the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, this is Pledge Week. Pledge Week. Last night, folks, this is it. We're in the final stretch. We're in the fourth quarter. We got to do well. We got to do well tonight. So the lines are open. Credit card line 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We got quite a program for you tonight, believe me. And there tonight on the telephones back there is Eric, Aaron, and Lee. And they are Pastor's Mighty Men back there. And in the booth is none other than Josh Booth, our producer tonight.
Hey, how's it going?
There you go. And we only heard half a cackle. Go ahead. That's Lisa Marie.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. And then we have over here the Elder Randall Barkley.
Good evening, good evening. Trust in God. He never fails.
Amen. And then way out yonder, the man of renown. He's known worldwide. Co-founder of Cops for Christ International. Author of many books. Okay. And let me tell you, it's been an honor for me to be his hero. None other than Big John McTurnan.
Oh, I was waiting for that. I was sounding too good, Pastor Ernie. All right, God bless you and all our listeners, and may we have a great night in sharing the word and also in knowledge that they need for the hour we live in.
Well, that's exactly right, and we're going to get into it because there's one source of knowledge that far exceeds all other. There's only one ultimate source of knowledge. One ultimate source that is pure and error-free, and that's absolute truth, and that's the Word of God, huh?
Amen, Pastor Ernie. That's the truth that we build our life on. That's our foundation.
Absolutely. And well, tonight we're going to pick it up where we left off. The title of the message was, Can a Man Rob God? And we were talking about, and it's appropriate for this week because this is Pledge Week, but we're talking about tithing. And we're going to pick it up where we left off over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And so, are you there, John?
Yeah, I'm here, Pastor Ernie. Just let me get to it.
Alrighty.
Okay, I'm there. And what verse is that, Pastor Ernie?
Verses 1 and 2, chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians.
You want me to read them, verses?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, everybody out there knows I can read. This is what...
All right. Verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come.
Okay, so now we discussed yesterday how he was telling us how tithing is a grace. It's a grace. It's not something that we're required by the law to do. But now, here's an interesting thing, because remember, who were all the first converts in the church? They were who?
Jews,
right. And so at this time, they were still meeting in the synagogue on Saturday. They would still go on Saturday into the synagogue. But then after sundown, they would go and they would meet. They'd actually meet in the same place for the church. But what happened was, after a little while, they were no longer allowed to use the synagogue to meet in the church, because it was the first day of the week after sundown, and they were not anymore considered to be. Remember, the Romans at first considered the Christians to be simply a sect of Judaism, okay? And so after a while, they were banned from holding their meetings there in the synagogue. So then they went to called church houses. They would meet in different people's homes. But they met on the first day of the week. Why did they meet on the first day of the week? Something very important happened on the first day of the week.
Well, they honor that day because of the resurrection of the Lord.
That's right. And when did he meet with them in the upper room? On the first day of the week, okay? And then what was the first day of the week referred to? The Lord's Day was referred to as the Lord's Day. Okay, we find that over in Revelation chapter 1, huh? Okay. And so at that point, they were meeting. Now, this is why we meet on the first day of the week, but we're at liberty to meet on any day of the week.
That's
now,
right.
A lot of your independent fundamentalist Baptist churches, because we don't have, a lot of us don't have real big buildings, sometimes we would have services both on Saturday and Sunday, so we can get, you know, more people in the building. And we would have a lot of churches today, a lot only have one service. Okay. We've always had two services, sometimes three. Okay. And so many of them today only have one service. But so here, when he says this, and upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay him up in store as God hath prospered him. So when he says, as God hath prospered him, this is where the tithing is a grace. Let me ask you this. Can we outgive God?
No, absolutely
no.
Not.
No. Does God need our money?
No.
Okay. If every one of us in this world disappeared today, would that affect God in any way?
Absolutely not.
Okay. But do we need God?
Absolutely.
Okay. Who sustains us?
God does.
The entire universe, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So the act of tithing is not to benefit God, but it's to benefit us.
Yeah.
So when we tithe, when the Lord said that the widow with her two mites gave more than all of the others, what did he mean by that? John?
She gave, out of the amount of wealth she had, she gave the highest percentage, Pastor Ernie.
So she gave all that she had, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of the highest percentage, yes.
And it was a presentation of her heart.
Right. Yeah. And so now, in doing that, God allows us to show him our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we tithe, the tithe comes first off the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if you have an electric bill, or what if you have something else that needs to be paid? What comes first, God or?
God does.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
God always comes first, doesn't
yeah.
he? Okay.
Yeah.
So now when we tithe, do we only tithe in money?
No.
What is the next, our next most valuable asset that we have besides our money? It is a what?
That would be our time.
Our time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So service to God. Can we tithe and service to God?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. When we do that, is that our reasonable service? Our reasonable service?
Yeah.
Okay. So then tithing for people, and I know people, I know some people that it just doesn't register to them. Now, here's the problem. You tell them like what we're discussing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You look them dead in the eye and you tell them, look, tithing is not to benefit God. He really doesn't need your money at all.
Right.
Okay? He really don't. The tithing is to benefit you.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a test of your faith. And you look and they'll nod. Yeah, I know that. Yet they still don't tithe.
Yeah.
Only John McTurnan can figure that one out. What's that all about, John?
Confusion of mind.
Yeah.
Unbelief. I don't know, Pastor Ernie. I mean, if you know the truth and don't obey it, what do you call that? Rebellion?
I don't know. All right, we have Diane in Michigan pledges $200.
All right.
Bill in Jersey pledges $50. I think that's where we started. I don't have a date up there, Josh. I guess that's where we started, right? Okay, yep, we have. So very good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The numbers are 888. We're in the fourth quarter, folks, tonight. We got to do good tonight. We've got to make up the shortcomings of the earlier in the week. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We need to hear from you. Now, I'm going to just start out right early because already twice this week, folks, I've already pledged 1,000 myself. And, you know, I would just talk. What was I just talking about? Stepping out in faith, right?
Yes.
Okay, and I was just talking to you earlier, okay, about the big expense I just incurred on my car, okay,
mm-hmm.
What it's costing me, and I really think these folks charge too much nowadays for car repairs. I really think they charge way more than they should, okay,
yeah.
But anyhow, so I'm going to step out in faith again right now tonight. I'm going to pledge another 1,000. I'm going to try to get me some matches for that 1,000. So Josh, put me down for 1,000.
All right,
down tonight. And so, folks, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. So that number again is 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Can I get a match? Can I get a match for my 1,000? Okay. Can I get a match for Diane's 200? Last night, Jack in Ohio pledged 500 before we went off the air. Can I get a match for 500? But we just need a few matches for the 1,000. If we could just get a few matches for the 1,000. I know, McTurnan will match that, right, John? Now, you give us a few matches. Won't you? All right. Okay.
Well, yeah, you got me speechless, Pastor Ernie.
All right. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And we're going to be in verses 4 to 10. And so Hebrews chapter 7, verses 4 through 10. All right, do you want to read that, Randall?
Yes, sir. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descendant but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better.
Go ahead through all the way through 10. Sorry.
And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him.
Okay, so now he's talking about here Abraham tithe to Melchizedek, okay? And so who is this Melchizedek? Well, Melchizedek is another name, and we'll read me. I'm going to go back to verse 1 and read a little bit about Melchizedek, and then you figure out who he really is, okay? Ready? For this Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being the interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also the king of Salem, which is the king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days or end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth priest continually. So he tells you who he is right there. And so he had no beginning and no end. So he was pre-existent, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there's only three personalities that we know of that were pre-existent, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? So he's got to be one of the three of those. Mm-hmm. Now the tip-off there would be the high priest, huh?
Uh-huh.
And so we'll let John take it from there. Go ahead, John.
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's setting up that Melchizedek is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ before he was incarnate here on earth.
So we call that a Christophany, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
All righty. And so, but the purpose there is now, Abraham was the wealthiest man. Him and Job were contemporaries at that time. They were considered the two wealthiest. And Abraham tithed to Melchizedek when many people were tithing to Abraham. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Abraham tithed to Melchizedek tells you that Melchizedek was greater than Abraham.
Greater, yeah.
Okay, so, all right, here, if we go over to Proverbs chapter 3. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, go ahead and I'll read them. Oh. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thy increase.
Yeah.
So shall the barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. So he's telling you we're first to give the very first fruits to the Lord, right? The best that we have. Are we always to give the Lord our very best?
Absolutely.
In everything. And we're to put him before what? Before, he said, Jesus said that he had to come before mother, father, brother, sister, before everybody. And so when we give him the very best that we have, that means more than our money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're to give him the very best of our talents,
Yeah.
The very best of our energy.
Yeah.
Okay. Take it from there, John.
Well, you mean to read the scriptures, Pastor Ernie?
No. What else can we give God the very best of? I mean, we're to give him the very best of what?
Well, it's everything. I mean, inclusive. So give him our time. Give him our, like, the tithes for finances. Give us, give him praise and thanksgiving.
So worship, praise, our time, our talent, our money. We're to give him all of that. Now, do we have to be perfect in doing that? King David was a man after God's own heart. Was King David perfect?
No, Pastor Ernie, he had some problems with sin.
Yeah.
So did he mess up even more than you, John?
A little bit more.
All right. Okay. Yeah. But he did, even though he was a man.
That made you laugh.
A man after God's own heart. And that's what we have to be. We're not. Who was it that didn't give God his best? And it didn't end well for him. That was a fellow, remember? He had a brother.
I can think of Cain.
Who it was. Yeah.
And that's one of the things, Pastor, is that God really wants us to give willingly. We shouldn't be giving grudgingly. We should consider how good God is, and there should just be something that should just well up in us as we consider how good God has been to us, and we should have that cheerful place, want to give unto the Lord.
So when we give God in our service and our talents, okay, does God read it, look upon our hearts, and know where our heart's at, why we give? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, very good.
Absolutely.
All right. Karen in PA pledges 50. Thank you, Karen. I'm still looking for it. Can I get a match for my 1,000? This is, folks, I can't do another one, believe me. Can I get a match for my 1,000 tonight? 1,000 more. 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give 60 right now.
Wow, okay. It's the money's on the table right here. Okay, Josh put him down. Put Randall Barkley down for 60.
And come on, folks, don't be ashamed. Give. If it's $5, if it's $10, if it's $1, listen, we need you to give. We expressed about the widow with the two mites. So those small amounts, though they may look small, they add up. So please don't hesitate just because, I don't have 1,000 or I don't have 500. Everything helps.
There you go. That's 60. That was to be the gas in your car tonight, huh?
Yeah. Looks like I'm going to have to walk home.
All righty. Well, to challenge people to match it. Go ahead, challenge them.
Ah, come on, somebody. Come on. Match me with this 60 right here.
Oh, by the way, folks, we forgot to tell you that you get, for $25 or more match, Exhilarating Moments, Pastor Ernie Sanders, 50 years of exhilarating moments, untold challenges, and many stories in between. And this is that DVD that we have. And basically, I'm being interviewed, and we talk about things that have happened over the years. And some of these things are really extraordinary. I mean, only God could, you know, things that I never could have put myself in these places at these times. You know, only God had his hand on that. And things that we really accomplished in this ministry because of the Lord. And it's in this DVD for. But now you have to tell us that you want that DVD. Okay, see? So when you call in or whatever, just say, yeah, I want that DVD. Or if you write in, you can send a check. If you want to, WRWL, just WRWL, 14781. That's 14 781 Sperry, S-P-E-R-R-Y Road, and that's in Newberry, N-E-W-B-U-R-Y, Ohio, 44065. And just if you want this DVD, you just got to say, I want that DVD. Now, there are some of you out there who may be, you know, in a situation where you couldn't afford it, okay? You couldn't afford the $25. You'd like to have one. But if you're destitute, if that's the situation, give us a call, 440-338-1367, and we can help you out. Maybe we can get you one of these without any cost. So, because there are a lot of people out there that deserve things, and sometimes they just can't afford it. Yeah. So, folks, again, that would be 440-338-1367. So,
well, Pastor, I just earned another CD, so I can or DVD, so I can give mine to someone.
All right, and I'll let you take this home tonight. Okay, yeah. So there you go. You just earned another. Maybe some of those people would say, oh, I don't believe all that stuff that goes out in that radio program. There you go. You got the proof.
Yeah.
All right.
Pastor Ernie, was that Tuesday night's show?
No. This is 50 years. It's the part one. There's six parts of it. 6 hours of 50 years in the ministry here. All the things that, you know, we've done over the years in the ministry, we're involved, you know, the things like when we were in Toledo, when we went in that bloody abortion mill and so on.
Yeah.
But hang tight. Yeah. I mean, just 60 years of my battle with Hillary and the Clinton mob. And, you know, we talk about when you and I took on the war college, when they said Christians shouldn't serve in the military. So all of that is in there, 60 years of stuff. So Vera in New York pledges 60. She matched you, Bradley. She matched you. So there you go.
All right.
Thank you, Vera. All right. John, you know, we talked about this. You and I, you were harping on this. You're saying, look, Biden's trying to get us in a war. Biden's trying to get us in a war. Biden's trying to get us in a war. Okay. Well, you know who agreed with you? That would be Biden. And we got a little clip to play where he says, if he does such a thing, this is World War III. Go ahead, Josh, and play that clip.
The idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews, just understand, and don't kid yourself, no matter what you all say, that's called World War III.
So what did he do, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's step by step, he kind of filled, he did what he said it would cause World War III. And the latest just occurred last Sunday when he allowed the Ukraine to use our missiles for long-range attacks inside Russia. And Russia had warned beforehand if the United States does that or NATO does it, it'll be an act of war because it'll be our weapons and these missile systems apparently need GPS from satellites and they need technical people to operate it. So it will be they're going to view it as America attacking.
That's what makes it the act. That's what makes it the act of war.
Is
not just if we had just given them the missiles. That would be one thing, but when we give them in a time of war, in a war zone, and when we give them the tactical, the assistance, that's an act of war.
Yeah.
And so now Putin fired the ballistic missiles, and here he's got those supersonic missiles.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anything that can shoot down a supersonic missile?
No, they said we don't have the capability to be able to shoot down one of those missiles.
Right. And no.
Yeah. Pastor Ernie, they call it hypersonic.
Yeah.
And here's what happens. They are, first of all, they go over 8,000 miles per hour, and it goes up sort of out of the atmosphere and back down. And on the way back down, it can be controlled, so it's not a straight trajectory. They can move it to the right, it can be moved to right, it can be moved to the left, up and down like that. So it's coming at a tremendous speed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's virtually impossible to track it, to destroy it.
Well, we had laser technology from satellites that were able to do that. I don't know how effective it is on these supersonic, okay, missiles. You know, I know because I know they're moving very, very fast.
Yeah.
And when they use those high-powered laser beams, they have to be on it for a little while, a certain amount of time before it explodes the missile, right?
Yeah, it has to burn it.
Yeah. All right. Very good. 888-281. Pardon?
Yeah, these also are, they can be equipped with a nuclear warhead.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that was fired into Ukraine has six, like, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say pods attached to it.
Yeah.
And those pods have six other, I'm going to just say smaller missiles.
Projectiles.
So when it gets it at the optimum range, it's firing. It's not just one that's hitting. You've got these 6x6, 36 that are being fired. And that's why if you see the pictures, did you see, Pastor Ernie, the picture of the missile hitting the Ukraine?
No. Well, yeah, I did. All I saw was the flames and the fires, but went in there very fast.
It looks like it's raining. It looks like it's raining fire, and that's those 36 other weapons coming down. So they're coming down. They look on. Looks like they're on fire, and they're hitting all around. So it's like a big. A big shotgun exploding in the air coming down.
Yeah. Do you remember the Six-Day War there in Israel where they used them? It was an interesting thing because, not the Six-Day War. I'm thinking of the, where they had the missiles that they were firing, and Israel would send up those, they were heat-seeking missiles, and Israel would send up these little flares when they would have their jets would fly in to drop a bomb. They would send out all these little flares, and so they were using these very expensive rockets, heat-seeking rockets, instead of hitting the planes. They were hitting these little flares. Do you remember that? That was they would go after.
Effective, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah,
they're still used today.
And so that was something, too, also used against Saddam Hussein, okay? Although he didn't have much of an air force, did he?
No, neither does Iran.
So now when Russia sends those out and those little missiles go out, our patriots and those that are going after them, they're instead of hitting the big one, they're going after these little smaller ones, aren't they?
I guess it sends massive confusion on the radar. You know, can't figure out what's the real deal.
Okay, so now Putin is saying, look, what you've done now, you've escalated this thing, and it gives us the right to use limited nuclear warfare. In other words, Putin says, they would only target military installations. They would give civilians a fair warning to evacuate the area. They would give before they hit the military targets. Okay, to take them out. Is there Is limited nuclear warfare even possible, or once it starts, is it going to rapidly get out of control?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that has a propensity to definitely do that. That's very easy.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I don't, you know, what war like that ever is limited? I mean, whatever weapons you have, you use, and you could just see maybe they'll try for a month, and then is some really powerful nuclear bomb that goes off, that does, or maybe it misses the target and hits the city, and next thing you know, there it is. It's finished, you know? I mean, the war is just on, full-blown.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, that's... I don't know. You know, let me ask you this, because, too, here, there's been peace talks. We know that there's peace talks been going on, supposedly secret peace talks, but we know that Trump has been meeting with leaders, world leaders, at Mar-a-Lago, okay, for the last couple of days. I know they're doing that with that Zoom, and with the Secretary of the U.N., is there in Mar-a-Lago right now meeting with Trump. And so here they're trying to stop this war, okay, that Biden is trying to start. What do you think, John, that the deep state, that the Democratic Communist Party is going to try to do? I mean, they are paranoid about Trump getting in full control, okay? So what do you think that the weaponized against America deep state is going to try to do to throw a monkey wrench in all of this?
Pastor Ernie, going back months, you know, heading towards the election, didn't we share on this on your show about how desperate the deep state was to stop Trump, and that we said that they would not allow him, no matter what, they weren't going to allow him to be inaugurated and put in office.
Remember, Biden said, I will stop him.
Yes.
I will not let him. Remember?
So they couldn't stop him because the election was so overwhelming. You know, it was just overwhelming. They couldn't steal enough. But here's the thing. To most people, if they maybe they're not familiar with your show here, when we say that the Democrat Party might stoop to nuclear war to prevent Trump, it sounds outlandish. It sounds bizarre. But these people are I call them murdering psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he do it? Just ask the question, Pastor, for our listeners here. Why did Biden do this now? He's lame duck. Why did he back Putin up to the point where Putin has sent this intercontinental or ballistic missile, said we're going to send more, that we will use nuclear weapons against you? Why did he do it, Pastor Ernie?
Well,
I think...
Go ahead, John.
...nuclear exchange, and for them to call martial law here, for martial law to be called and suspend the... Trump being inaugurated.
Right. You know, that would be, and Joe would get back, not at just, you know, again, at Trump, but he would get back at those that threw him under the bus too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just ask the timing of it. Why did he do it?
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
There is no explanation. There is no explanation why he did it. There's no explanation that I can see. And then the Brits followed. Did you see that, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Brits fired their long-range cruise missiles into Russia and apparently did some severe damage also. So Russia has threatened Britain also. And I just saw today in the news, Britain is chomping at the bit to fight the Russians. They said our army is ready. We're ready to go. The U.S. just last week also opened up a military base in Poland. Did you see that, Pastor Ernie?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, and that base has our nuclear-tipped missiles in it, that within like 20 minutes can be in Moscow. And Putin said he was going to attack that. He said he was going to attack that base. It just opened up. So they're putting this missile base in Poland, the United States, which has these nuclear weapons that can be fired into Russia in 15 minutes. It can take out Moscow.
And so that this is why he said that they will give fair warning to evacuate the civilian population, that it's going to simply take out military targets, okay?
With nuclear weapons.
Yeah, yeah. Now,
so do you know this, Pastor Ernie, that we're on the verge of a nuclear war initiated by Biden, who has 2 months left in office, and except for some, you know, news services that you follow and I follow, this is like almost silent. Where are the Republicans in this? I have my congressman here in Texas is a big warmonger. He's been behind this from day one. And I spoke to his office this week, and they were speechless. They couldn't answer me the questions. You'll have to talk to our Washington office. You'll have to talk to Washington. I'm not equipped to answer that. I'm not equipped to answer it. And my question was, what has Russia done to us, Americans, that now that we provoked them to the point of nuclear war? And this congressman has been behind it the whole way. Every time Biden wanted $20 billion for Ukraine there, he's ready to go. $80 billion, whatever equipment that Biden wanted to send over there, he's all for it. Well, now Russia says, I'm going to nuke you, and they've taken the first step to do it.
And here's how, you know, these people are justifying sending this equipment now to Ukraine is because now the Ukraine's fighting two countries, because North Korea has been pumping in troops, and they said they're going to send in like 11,000 more troops into Russia, because Russia, and both Ukraine and Russia, has lost so many people. Russia has lost, what, over 200,000? Over 200,000 soldiers have been murdered, but killed.
More than that, Pastor Ernie. Russia's heading up around 500,000 now.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. I follow this every day, Pastor Ernie.
Wow, my gosh.
That's why the Chinese are coming. They're bringing the North Koreans.
Yeah.
And so then...
Now, Pastor Ernie, here's the story on this. The Ukrainians have penetrated Russia in the northern part there of these two countries. They penetrated in about... I'm not sure, about 100 miles, I think, and the Russians can't get them out. That's how weak the Russian army is. So the Russians are bringing 10,000 North Koreans to join their army there against the Ukraine. So this army has not invaded the Ukraine, the North Korean army. It's backing Russia in Russia against the Ukraine. You follow?
Yeah.
So technically, they're not involved in like the Ukrainian where the Russians have gone into Ukraine. The North Koreans are not there. They're on Russia, but nonetheless, they've joined the Russian army, and the Russians can't get the drones like by themselves. So Iran is supplying them. So Iran is supplying Russia. And North Korea is supplying Russia with artillery rounds, weapons, because Russia can't produce enough. And now they're sending 12,000 soldiers. The United States now is directly involved in attacking Russia. And Great Britain is directly involved in attacking Russia. So we can see how this is all coalescing now, with all these other nations becoming like directly involved.
Okay, so let me ask you now. Since right now peace talks are taking place, okay, does that mean that we're We're officially in World War III?
According to Putin, we are.
Okay.
So what did Biden say? Remember that clip you played? What did he say?
Well, he considers us World War III. We're in World War III. Right. So, in other words, Biden has come out and literally admitted that he's starting World War III, right?
Yes. Sunday. That's what he gave the Ukrainians the permission Sunday to use our missiles long range into Russia. And he said in an earlier speech, doing that would be World War III.
All right, so we're going to need, okay, we know a couple things. One, they're going to try to stop. They're going to try to stop the peace talks. They're going to try to stop Trump. I know that the deep state has to have some plans. Now, we saw what happened here. This thing with Matt Gaetz, there's something that's not right about it, okay? In other words, Trump gave up too easy, and Matt Gaetz gave up too easy. Now, Trump is a mastermind when it comes to strategy, okay? Mm-hmm. So there's something more going on here, okay? We know that they're in Florida. Marco Rubio's Senate seat's going to be up, okay? Do you think Trump thought ahead of this, that he was planning on maybe had this in mind all along? Or there's, you know, now he has come out with this Pam Bundy. She's good. I mean, I'd be satisfied with her. I've listened to her. I've watched her cases before. She's good. Okay. But there's something not right about it. Both Trump and Gaetz gave up too easy. So they have to have a plan B to go into effect. Do you think the opposition realizes that?
I don't know. I don't know, Pastor Ernie. I really don't. But they're quiet about her. You know, so maybe Bundy there was the one he wanted.
Do you know why they're quiet about her? Because remember, they attacked her. Okay, Biden's people, the Antifa, had surrounded her.
Yes, and you're right.
And she feared for her life when she came out of that restaurant. Mm-hmm. There were people there, and she. She feared that she might be beaten and raped, okay? Mm. So now they have all of that on film, right? So now remember the victim. She, you know, and not only that, but people that are very good looking like she is always have an advantage, okay? In the media. They're less likely to go after her. And she... Even though she was very conservative, she is a lady. She's a real lady. So they have a problem with that. And the Democrats, I think some of those women at NBC talking heads don't want to take her on. I just don't think they want to take her on at all. So, but now...
Well, she had a superb record in Florida.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
Yeah, right. So, you know, if you put everything together, where is it going to get them?
Here's the other thing that I'm wondering about, okay? The FBI. Look, he's talking about Cash. He said Cash Patel. Now, if we don't get Cash Patel... because they're talking about Mike Rogers, and Mike Rogers is no Cash Patel by any means at all, right? Mm. If we see that happen, will we know that the Rhinos have won that, okay? I mean, right now, they're thinking that they've won the thing with Gates. But if we don't get Cash Patel, if they put that Rogers in there, who's Mike Rogers, well, how do we look at that? How do we take it?
I'm not sure, Pastor.
Something wrong with Trump allowing that, you know? I mean, Trump saw all the damage that Ray did ahead of the FBI, and he saw all the damage Garland did ahead of the U.S. Attorney's Office, to him personally. Not only him, but I mean the whole country, what they did, how corrupt they were. So he has to put someone in there. He has to, Pastor Ernie, that's battle-tested and that he can trust that they won't turn on him again.
Yeah, that would be Cash Patel, and that would not be one of the rhinos, would it?
Right, exactly.
So
he
now
he can't put a rhino. He can't. It's suicide for him to put a rhino in there.
Okay, so here's what I'm thinking is this: look, the rhinos think that they won the situation with Gates. I don't think that there's something very. Look. Trump doesn't give up that easy. Gates doesn't give up that easy. Mm-hmm. The fact that they did that tells me that they had a plan B already, and that might have been the plan to begin with, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I'm thinking in a way, yes.
What do you think would happen if he appointed me the head of the FBI?
I think it would be a good choice.
Yeah, do you think it would end well for Merrick Garland and Chris Wray?
I think there might only be three or four FBI agents once you were done.
Pastor Ernie, you might reinstitute the guillotine there in Washington.
Oh, man.
You know what I would do to them? I would lock them in a room where they couldn't get away and preach heaven sweet and hell hot. I would repeat, you know, let them know what God's word in the Bible says about what they've done. Touch not his anointed. They went after the pro-lifers, Merrick Garland putting 72-year-old grandmas in jail for being pro-life.
Right, Pastor Ending. Right.
Going after homeschoolers. You know, I tell you what, I'd have them to where they would be begging for repentance, begging, you know, because they need to hear that. I mean, if I had my way, I'd lock Congress up where the doors where they couldn't get out and preach them until they repented or their hair caught on fire or both. What do you think? All right. Well, we're coming up to a break.
What the FBI did was, I'm at a loss for words. I mean, it's absolutely disgraceful. And the lies that they were caught in. They would that guy Ray, or Garland was worse, but Ray would go and testify before Congress, and it was pure lies.
Well, there was only one liar that was worse than Ray, that was Mariakas. Mariakas, he was making big, he was getting rich, being paid off there when he went down to Mexico, but people don't know that, okay? And so, you know, for all the drug and the trafficking, it's the human sex trafficking. And just yesterday, we're coming up to a break, so we'll be back right after this.